Welcome to another episode of The Halal Gap. My name is Sophia Alani.
And my name is Skander Atik. And as always, we're joined by our magician behind the mic, Hamada. Hamada, where are you at?
Hi.
There he is. And today we have a very exciting guest for you guys. He's an Indian Pakistani American actor trained at the renowned Beverly Hills Playhouse in the Upright Citizens Brigade. You may have seen him in the Oscars award-winning film Just One Night, the hit TV show Lethal Weapon, or in Tesla Boy's incredible music video Circles, where he was the lead actor and dancer and which was featured at South by Southwest. He's worked with the likes of Lady Gaga, Trey Songz, Wiz Khalifa, and many others, and is currently filming a new Amazon Prime show while hosting his own podcast, Desi Standard Time, that shines a new perspective on South Asian media. Joining us all the way from LA, please welcome Maz Ali.
Hey, hey. Maz. I just realized you call me Maz, but that's fine.
how do you pronounce it? This is ridiculous. It's becoming a trend now.
All right, I'm gonna need to do the intros now.
I'm sorry. I know Rami bust your chops too. Oh man. Oh no.
Hey man, if you deserved it, like
it's okay. I definitely butchered Rami's name, but I thought Maz.
Maz. Right. No, I don't mind it honestly. I mean, there's a lot of pronunciation. I mean, I go by Maz, but then like also like Arabs go by Mu'ad, which I don't mind at all, you know.
Wait, say that again.
Mu'ad, like Hadrat Mu'ad ibn Jabal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, named after that Sahaba.
That's a very different pronunciation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the Desis, right? We just turned it into from Mu'ad to Ma'az to Maz, just because that's simpler. But
and then Sikandar came in and made it Maz.
Maz. Well, that's. Another dialect, it's cool. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be beyond you.
I'm just gonna hand it over now. Go ahead, Sophia.
Yeah, I'll take it from here. See you later. Thank you for joining us. Aww. So you tell us about like how you started and like what it is that you how you got involved in this. I'm having a hard time like keeping it straight. So you dance, you act, you improv, and you host podcast. Am I missing anything?
No, I think that's it. I must say, my head is huge right now. That the way that Sikandar just introduced me, and that just pumped me up so much. I was listening to it. I was like, damn, man, that sounds so sick right now. just the way he had me up, I was like, damn, okay. But no, yeah, how did I start? I mean, I'm a California native. I was born in L.A., I was raised up in the Bay Area. I'm the youngest of three, and we were a big TV movie household. We watched a lot of television, you know, whether it was sitcoms from the 70s, 80s, 90s, a lot of Bollywood movies, as well from the Amitabh era, from the 60s, you know, up until modern day. And just like TV was a big part of my life. I think that there was a big point in time where my sister's 10 years older than me, and then my brother is 6 years older than me. So when my brother was married, I mean, sorry, when my sister was married and she was living, you know, with doing her married life thing, and my brother was going to college and he was away, during my, I guess, more so formative years from like 14 to like, I guess, 18 or so, I really had a lot of time to be on YouTube, watch a lot of Comedy Central, and I think I really just became a hermit and just watched a lot of television because my siblings weren't around. but before that, even like I was just known to be doing a lot of impersonations of everybody in the family. Like, this is how my father sneezes. This is how my sister sneezes. This is how they walk. Like a lot of random stuff like that. And I never really said anything. And I would just be brought into the room with like, Maz, do this. And I would like do it. And then they're like, okay, enough of you. And then I would leave and I'd go back to playing Legos. So it was a lot of that. And I think, I just always started, I really got into dance heavy. That was my first love in middle school and high school. And I was just learning to dance and watch a lot of videos and just practice. And I finally realized that, oh, this is fun and I can do this and sort of do this in front of people too. So, you know, just kind of more so, I guess the typical Indian style or Desi and Pakistani way is to perform at weddings and mendis and stuff. So I started doing more of those, but then I did a lot of random like YouTube videos as well. And then once I was in college, I was hosting the culture shows and stuff like that. I went to UC Davis, by the way, shout out Aggies. And then I realized I didn't want to only just work a 9-to-5 and that be it. I kind of was like, there's gotta be more to life than this. And then so I got a job, and then I realized that they had an LA office. So I worked really hard to be promoted to the LA office. And that's what I did. Once I got to LA, then that's when I started taking classes, and the rest is history, if you will.
So your initial, foray into kind of the entertainment world, was that through dance, or was that, you know, initially right into acting, or how did that come about?
The two are intertwined. So I realized that dance, I mean, I feel as though a lot of my friends were in LA, and some of my friends were going to the Beverly Hills Playhouse, and so they already had a step in, and I'd be G-chatting with them while they were living in LA, and I was in the Bay Area working, and they'd be like, dude, you would kill it here. Like, you need to try this. And through dancing and through doing skits and stuff, they're acting and dance are really intertwined. I feel like all the arts are. So with a lot of dancing, there's a lot of like acting and like facial expressions and whatnot as well. So I just started doing more like random impromptu scenes with friends and just for fun, like whether it's charades or whatever, I don't know. And then I was like, you know what, like, I really want to just study it and just take part in it. So that's when I started taking classes about a couple months after I moved to LA at the Beverly Hills Playhouse. So, and I was just kind of there for about a couple of years and just really built that foundation there.
And so was everybody kind of cool with that? It sounds like you had a lot of support, like from your family thinking you were pretty good, and then your friends being like, yes, come do this.
Yeah, you know what? I know that I think everybody has their struggles. I feel as though I was on the luckier side. I think that I had a lot of support from my friends, my community. They kind of knew me as this like ham and this person that just had a knack for it, if you will. And so they were always like, yeah, you got to try. And there was a lot of people like putting it in my brain and stuff. And I think my parents, for the most part, were always like, no, like, you know, you're talented and you should enjoy it. But I when I brought it up that I wanted to move to LA, I think just out of any concern that any parent would have was that, you know, how are you going to do it? How are you going to make money? Just don't lose sight of certain things and just know your worth, if you will. So there was a lot of, I guess, battles I had, in my own way with my parents. So, they were, you know, not really pleased for me to see me go and to move away and to kind of partake in that. But I tried to really keep them up to date and up to speed with everything that I was doing and show them pictures like, hey, these are my classmates. This is where I'm going now. Or I just had an audition for this. And so naturally at some point they became like, okay, like, how was your audition today? And they slowly started, you know, chiming in themselves.
Nice.
And yeah. And sorry. And you are now kind of in an interesting part in your career, right? I mean, you're still working full time in more of a corporate role, but are pushing as hard as you can to try to make the acting side of the equation your full time gig. So how has that struggle been? How has that balance been? Have you found it to be something that, you know, you and I have talked about this briefly in the past, but have you found that your role, your career in sales has in any ways helped you in this path towards becoming an actor, or has it been a really challenging balance, or what's that been like for you?
Yeah, it's been interesting. With balancing the two has always been really just hilarious, for a lack of a better term. But I feel that they've definitely helped each other out. Before I wasn't always in sales. I was doing more so like customer service for a corporate housing company, and I really wasn't happy there, just only because I knew that I wanted to do acting and really dedicate my time to that. So I jumped into acting full on and auditioning daily, and also I picked up a job doing valet at, you know, the Hollywood Roosevelt, Mr. C's Hotel in Beverly Hills, the W. And then I, at some point, I realized that after I was booking some gigs and I was getting a lot of auditions under my belt and doing really well. And then after I booked a couple of gigs, I realized that I just didn't want to do that anymore, and that I still have to find a way to support my career and make proper money. And so that's when I transitioned back into sales. Because I just learned, you know, when you audition, that you're really learning how to sell yourself and to really make a good, bright, enthusiastic impression in the room when you walk in. And that is a lot of sales. You just want to make the person that you're selling to comfortable. You want to be approachable and just have a natural energy and make people feel just good. And like I said, comfortable, right? So I think my experience in acting has really helped me in that and just developed like a sort of confidence in who I am as a person. But as far as balancing the two, it's been hilarious. I think the first sales job I had, I remember doing a music video for Chris Brown. It was a random Sunday night. Privacy. It was, yeah. So if you look closely, I'm the lead, or not the lead. What's it called when you're manning a table? There was a scraps table that I was like the leading the scraps table, if you will. God, I can't think of the word, but essentially the scene is I'm working it. There's people playing dice on that table. And then Chris Brown just jumps up on the table right in front of me, starts dancing, and I'm like flabbergasted. I'm like, what's this guy doing? And like, what the hell? But I remember it was shot at the Hard Rock Hotel in Palm Springs, and we had an all night shoot. So I got there around 6 p.m. and then I didn't get on set until 2 a.m. and we were on set until 7 a.m. and I was already really struggling at that job that I was at. Like, I was kind of new to sales and I just didn't know how to like hit quota and whatnot. And I couldn't afford to take some time off. So basically, I thought it'd be done by 7. Next thing I know, I have to drive back all the way to Beverly Hills where my job was. And I go into work just like having not like sleep, like maybe getting a grand total of like maybe 15 minutes of sleep. And just go about my day and just act as if like nothing happened. So I had a lot of moments like that because
That's wild. I think people see Hollywood and they think like glitz and glamour from day one, but that's the side of the equation that a lot of people don't get insight into, right? Is that crazy grind that it takes to get to where you want to be, to the level where you're literally not sleeping and working multiple jobs just to make it to auditions. It's a commitment.
What's funny is that Chris, that music video, I didn't really get paid that much. I maybe got paid like 150 or maybe $200. But you go because first off, like it was Chris Brown. So I was like, damn, like as a dancer, he's like one of my influences. So this would be really cool. But also just the networking aspect as well, right? Like you don't know who you're going to meet and you just have to hustle and you really just have to spread yourself thin. And you just have to suck it up and do it, you know? So yeah.
So have you ever had to make any like hard choices in terms of like needing to pick between, you know, do I do this? Do I go to this audition or do I work or, you know, family or anything? Have there ever been any like really noticeable or notable like decisions you've had to make?
Let's see. I mean, there's been a couple of times here and there where I have had to stay for gigs when I told my family I'd be flying up to see them and whatnot. And then like, it just so happens at the last second, they decided that they're going to shoot this short film or this commercial that weekend. Right. Well, maybe not commercial, because commercials are a little bit more, organized, but a lot of moments like that, or I had to like skip a flight and be like, oh, I'm going to be delayed or I'm going to leave a little early now. And I'm going to arrive home really late because I got an audition at the last second. So stuff like that. I mean, does that answer your question or is there anything else particularly you're trying to?
No, I was just wondering because I can't imagine, like Skander mentioned, like that's the side that people who aren't in the industry, like myself, like don't really see. Mm-hmm. So I was just like wondering, like I can't imagine how that must come up and how like it might be a little difficult to make those. So yeah, I was, whatever your answer is, a great answer. I was just kind of wondering.
I was just saying, like acting is not a 9-to-5, like it can hit you whenever and you just kind of have to be ready by the sounds of it.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, at the same time, you have to be still taking classes, you have to still be training, you still have to go to classes and just make it work. I mean, it just costs money, it's an investment. You have to do that year round, even if you're not auditioning or like booking stuff, because when the time comes and you are going to be in there and auditioning in front of directors and stuff, you better make sure that your tool is sharp and ready to go, right? Because it's just such a crazy competition. I mean, people are doing whatever they can to make it work. And I mean, I'm very, very lucky and fortunate because I am from California. So my home is not that far away. It's about like a 5-hour drive. It's an hour flight. I have like some relatives in living in East LA, which I need to make an effort to see them more, but like there's a lot of people that just drop everything and come from across country to do what they got to do.
Totally.
And those are people too that nobody was in their ear like I had it, where people were like, oh, Miles, like, you're talented, you should try this, right? Those people were just like, I have a dream, I'm going to do it, whatever. You know what I mean? And so there's always people that just have it way harder and way worse than you. I mean, I have friends like that slept out of cars and that still do, you know, and it's crazy because they're not, you would never have thought that they are in that sort of predicament, but they're doing what they can to make it work. And oftentimes, like, unfortunately, like, I think that, like, the whole, I guess, like, starving artist mentality is almost praised and just like, oh, but it's so cool, you're struggling and you're doing what you got to do. And it's like, no, like, I think if people had another way to go about and try to make it in Hollywood, like, they would. But, you know, there's some people that just have to, you know? So I think people go into, I have to struggle and work and be bartending and doing all this and kind of be complacent and it's really hard upon myself. And that's, people feel like that's the only way to do it, but the game has changed now. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's probably the like, I would think that the thing that is really important is flexibility, right? Like, if you have a job, like a 9-to-5 type job that allows you the flexibility to go and do an audition, then, you know, obviously it makes things a lot easier from a financial freedom perspective as well, rather than just having to rely on, you know, waiting tables or doing that whole aspect of the equation. But no, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, there's no reason why if you can find the opportunity to do something that can support yourself while you pursue the dream, why you shouldn't be doing that, right? I mean, you're right. I think it's somewhat romanticized that it's like, okay, I got to go all in for this, and therefore I'm gonna basically just sleep in my car and do whatever it takes. But at the end of the day, too, I mean, you know, I'm assuming you would think this too, is that LA's got a lot of people who probably are relying too heavily on that dream, right? And they probably should fail a little faster and move on to something else. So,
right.
I mean, it's always a struggle, right? Between trying to figure out what the limit is to the dream and actually pursuing it. Do you remember what your first paid gig was?
It was, I feel like there's a lot of random gigs that I did, like, well, there was like an extra in this music video, an extra in this short film. And just like, I was just this tall brown dude that just like walks across like one cut in the background, and that was it. And I got paid $50 and I was like, all right, it's going to be 50,000 one day. Like, just keep at it, buddy. And there was a lot of stuff I did like that. But I feel like the first gig that I got that I auditioned for, did well, went to the callback, did well, and then officially booked it. And it was something that I was like proud of, was, It was for a company called Rebtel, R-E-B-T-E-L. And they were essentially like they're kind of like a WhatsApp, but based like in Europe. And maybe they are, maybe they're not. Maybe I'm completely butchering what they actually do, and that's a damn shame because I did a commercial for them. But God bless them. I played a Sikh guy, and the whole premise.
Interesting.
Yeah, the whole premise of the commercial was, like, say what you want, say what you really want. And so I was a Sikh guy. I had a bigger beard then, and I'm wearing a puggri. And I'm going through airport security, and then they see that I'm just a Sikh dude, a brown guy. And they were just like, hold it right there, sir. We're going to have to, inspect you further, you know, for further security. And like with an accent, I just totally make fun of them. And I'm like, oh yeah, because I'm just totally random as this Sikh brown dude, totally random. I got chosen, right? And I kind of go off. But that was my first like legit paying gig, and it did really well. And I think people finally saw me.
Funny commercial.
Yeah, and there was like a lot of different iterations with other talent as well that did other versions of that. So it was cool. They had a cool little campaign, and. Yeah, thank you, Sikander. I appreciate that. But no, I feel like that was the first also project that people saw me finally book after like 4 years of being in LA. And they were like, oh, like legit, like good job. And then a lot of people shared it as a result. So that was like a little like proud moment for me.
Did anybody find it weird that you were like a Muslim guy playing a Sikh guy?
I think there was like comments here and there. There was just like, oh, they should have hired like an actual Sikh guy. And I'm like, I couldn't really say anything about that. I was like, yeah, I mean, like, I totally understand where you're coming from. And I'm not going to argue that, you know. Ultimately, I think it was up to the casting directors that has made that decision, because there were Sikh, men that were present that auditioned for it as well. And in my head, I was kind of sitting there too. I was like, oh God, like there's something wrong about this. Like, why am I here? But at the same time, it is Hollywood, right? And that's what we're trying to break and different, you know, hopefully it goes in a steer in a different direction. But, you know, I got the job. So here we are.
Mm-hmm. You got to take that cultural ambiguity however you can sometimes.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's funny because you say that. A lot of people ask me too. They're like, you know, when you first came to LA, when you're going to auditions, like, were you often typecasted as like a taxi driver or a 7-Eleven owner or whatnot? And I mean, granted, I did go out for some roles like that, but I know for a fact I didn't go out for those types of roles as much as like other like brothers and sisters in the game. So, because I'm also 6'4", and I went out for like a lot of like collegiate athlete, you know, wide receiver, like amateur, like we're looking for these kind of people. And that's when my head just got really big. I was like, oh, cool. Like they think I'm an athlete, even though I'm like as skinny as a freaking rail. So that I got a lot of auditions like that. And I was like, this is cool. And it was always kind of funny to me, but, yeah. But then there was other times too, where I went for like a West Indian, role. And so I'd be in a casting room and there's like a lot of other like black guys with dreads and then just me. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I might just leave. I don't think I'm going to get this. And I don't know if I should be here, but.
So I'm just like. That's awesome. It would be, oh my God. I can't even imagine, dude. But have you found that there's been a lot more openness to having, you know, either visibly Muslim or brown people in diverse roles now in Hollywood over the last kind of 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're headed in the right direction. I think there's just a lot more work out there now more than ever before as well. Given that, you know, there's streaming platforms and there's a lot more non-union gigs that are out there as well. And so, yeah, there's a lot. And you know, there was one point in time where it was more so like the, I don't know, like the Aziz Ansari's view. I don't know why he's the first person to come to mind, but like more so of a certain typecast of brown people that were only coming on screens. And then like gradually then we got to like, you know, Hasan Minhaj, Riz, Rami, you know, these types of folks. And it's just becoming more and more nuanced, which is like really cool as far as like narrative stories that are being told.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got one in Canada called The Transplant, I believe it's called,
with Hamza Huck.
Yeah.
That's my boy. Yeah, exactly. Dude. That is my boy.
And that's, you know, it's like a very nuanced character, which is awesome to see, you know?
Hamza, so hopefully that the trend that continues. Hamza is a freaking monster, man. He's so talented. Like I've seen his reel like at least 6,000 times. And he was just, yeah, he's very, very near and dear to my heart. Like he's a really just stand-up guy. Just super crazy, crazy talented. I've had dinner with him where, I met up with him. He was visiting in the Bay Area. And I remember, I think I had a moment where I was like considering dropping everything and just being like, dude, I should probably just go back to a 9-to-5 or move. Like I'm flat broke. Like, what am I doing? And I remember him just like meeting me for the first time, just meeting up with me for dinner and just be like, dude, like, don't do that. You know, like, stick it out. Like, you're talented. And he just gave me a lot of support in a time where I like really needed. So, yeah, just a good man. Yeah, really, really good dude.
And have you found like a lot of support with fellow actors who you're like finding like brothers and sisters on the road that it's like, is it pretty competitive or is there kind of a camaraderie there?
It's a little bit of both. I think there's definitely people that are out there that are literally willing to help as well. There's another guy named, he goes by Jonah Ames. He, another crazy talent. He, I remember, was a guy that was really struggling at one point in his life. And he, you know, I think this was around the same time where I talked to Hamza too, but I was like really struggling and I was just having this like quarter life crisis for like the 16th time. And like, he was just like, dude, like if you need money, like I'll just give you $500 right now. Don't even worry about paying me back. You know, there's people that are willing to just drop everything for you. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely, there's gems out there for sure. But you know, there's other people too that are willing to help, but at the same time, it,
Jonah Ames was Jonah Ames was in Imran Khan's movie, right?
Yes.
The
Prom.
Prom.
Yeah,
where dude, so it. Good.
It's so good. Yeah, he's a beast, man. Yeah, and he's just
Imran submitted Drone and the Kid to the Oscars 2 years ago and came down for the event and like almost swept the all the major categories. He's unreal too.
But Jonah Ames and Imran Jay, yeah. crazy talents, but going back to what you were saying though, yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that are willing to drop everything for you, and then, you know, naturally, just like with society and anywhere else, just people that are, you know, good to your face but then behind your back, you know, I'm not saying they'll even like sabotage you, but you know, they bite off more than they can chew when it comes to them saying like, I got your back, I'll do this too, but it's like, where were you when I needed this? And you know, I
would you like to name names at this point? Or
absolutely, let's have a list.
This turns into a very different kind of podcast if we start doing that.
Yeah, it's funny, but I think everybody experiences that, like in big cities. I think that happens in New York, that happens in the tech scene in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like that's just human nature. That's what people are, just generally speaking. So there's good and there's bad.
Yeah, and it's such a competitive field and industry too, right? So I mean,
definitely.
Yeah, I guess
it's gotta be, yeah.
No, go ahead. No, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, it's got to be like particularly challenging here because like in one sense, you know, as a community, let's call it like whether that's South Asian or whether that's Muslim or whatever community that you would identify as, you obviously want to be supportive of each other. But at the end of the day, you likely are going up against each other for like the same roles just because mm-hmm. this is such a like stereotypical industry in the sense, like if you're looking for a visible minority of a certain type,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. So that's got to be an interesting dynamic there.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's happened to me multiple times. Friends of mine that I just show up to an audition and then I see a buddy of mine walk in and then we like high five and we like shake hands, which is funny because it has an inverse effect. Like everybody else that's in the waiting room, they suddenly like crap their pants because like when you see your buddy there and while everyone's kind of like, you know, the general sentiment is like nervousness because everyone's about to go audition and, you know, people take auditions in different ways and handle it, you know, in their own way. But I feel like when you see your buddy there, it's almost like a sense of relief and it just drops down a wall. And then you guys are like goofing around, joking. And then like you guys are both hyping each other up before like going in and they're like, all right, like may the best man win. So it's just funny. Like for me, it was always like a cool thing. I was like, oh dude, what's up? Like, all right. Yeah. If it's not me, then absolutely it's you, you know? And that's, mm-hmm. that doesn't even happen just like amongst like brown people, you know, it happens like, you know, for other roles as well. Totally. Yeah, but but yeah, you're right. I think it's weird because it is competitive because of that reason. But the way I look at it too, it's like, dude, like if he books it at the end of the day, that's awesome. And if he gets mm-hmm. more roles, that only means that I'm going to get more roles and I'll have more opportunity, right? So it's like,
yeah. No, completely, yeah.
Why the hell not? Yeah, absolutely. Go run with it.
Yeah, that's a good attitude. Also, just because you love Bollywood, have you seen Gully Boy?
Absolutely, I have seen
okay,
Gully Boy.
Because I'm apparently very new to this party, but I just watched it recently. And I really loved how, with the two like rappers, how there was that camaraderie and that like sense of like, you know, if it can't be me, it's you, and that's wonderful. Because I think like I was scared the whole movie. I was like, don't make them like turn against each other, like don't do it. I love this friendship so much, it's so supportive, like please keep that.
I was almost like in tears because the whole time the way the story was going, I thought that Cher was gonna be like like turn his back on freaking Murad, right? But yeah, he didn't. Man. He was totally supportive.
I know.
What the hell? God bless you, Cher. Yes.
Right. It warmed my heart and gave me hope, like in a way that something like nothing has done that in a long time.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It was really lovely.
I think for the sake of storytelling, it was like really, really cool. And there's a little bit of parts I'm like, oh, will that really happen? Like this guy just joined the scene and he beats out Cher, who's been like a beast in the game for a long time. So there's parts where I was like, when I thought of it practically later, I was like, no, I don't know. But for what it was, it's such a good feel-good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just love that that's how Cher was. And I was like, damn, Cher's a truly a good man.
And I feel like it was...
Have you seen Gully Boy?
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like it was... You Hamada. Haven't?
Hamada.
Hey, Hamada.
No, of course not.
You gotta watch it, man. That's actually a movie worth watching.
Yo, Hamada, do it. Seriously. It's on Amazon Prime.
We should do a Netflix watch party. Wait, it's not on Netflix, right?
No, it's not. Amazon.
Yeah,
Prime
we should do a Zoom party and we'll watch it all together.
I would 100% watch it again because, yeah, like I think there's just so many stories in movies already where it's like they do end up competing later and it's like kind of not great. But man, they were brothers till the end. Oh, my heart. That was just so nice.
It really was. It really, really was.
It was.
That's the second time that movie's come up today in conversation between me and Moz.
Really?
Yeah,
that's true.
That's pretty wild.
Oh, that's so funny. What was the previous conversation?
I asked Matt, we were chatting earlier today, and I asked him, like, because he's a huge Bollywood fan, I guess you can call it, Bollywood connoisseur. And I was like, okay, for someone who doesn't watch a lot of Bollywood, like, what's a movie that's like actually worth watching? And he was like, Gully Boy. I'm like, okay, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
The other one.
Hondo so. P agree.
Then I got Kapoor and Sons on my list now.
Yeah, Kapoor and Sons is really good. Really, really
good.
Oh,
okay. I'll add that to my list too. Yeah. I also recently watched War.
Oh,
so
Lord.
Quality, so such high.
So that movie. First off, like I knew what I was getting into. I was expecting a weird bromance between one Tiger Shroff and one Hrithik Roshan, and. Mm-hmm. And the first half was hilarious. And then the second half, I thought was actually better because there was like hilarious twists. And I'm sorry, I always say hilarious, but this just I just went into the movie. I was like, I'm going to love this. This is exactly what I want. Just like abs.
Oh, yeah.
Listening bodies.
Yeah. So much oil.
Just so much like, what the hell? Like what? People should not look like that. Like they are like the, how are these kind of people like exist? Like one Tiger Shroff. First off, his name is Tiger. Okay. Like
I know.
If you're going to be Tiger, like you better be what Tiger Shroff is. Like that's
100%.
Just, oh man.
My mom said that she watched an interview where apparently he works out 8 hours a day. And so that is why he looks that way.
That's what mom said,
man.
Wait, and you learned this from your mom. This is so tight.
Listen, she's up on that Bollywood goss, okay? But yeah, no, and she, and apparently there's a actually a YouTube video. Don't ask me how I know this, but there's a YouTube video of Hrithik Roshan working out for this role.
I've seen that video.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's like I don't know when he got a little chubby though. I think he was just probably in between roles and he's like, you know what, like whatever.
He's like, just let me live my life. I'm over 40. Like that poor
it's
guy.
Hard being perfect this much, man. Yeah, like I can imagine him just having like an outcry.
Yeah, they were like they saw him in public and were like, this is not what we pay you the dollars for, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%.
Sir. Yeah. That's hilarious, though. Yeah.
Anyway, I suppose we could move on.
Well, I mean, on that topic, maybe let's touch on Desi Standard Time while we're on the topic of Bollywood. Tell us a little bit about your podcast. How did it come about? What's the intention behind it? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, no, Desi Standard Time. There was a buddy of mine who moved to LA. His name was Maz. He's Maz Khan. And what's funny is that we didn't like each other from the jump because he had my name and I had his name. Automatically there was like this like beef that everybody in the greater Southern California metropolis was trying to create amongst us. And
the
I slowly, as like, who's like cooler? And it was just like all this like hilarious like tension between us. But we knew what it was. And I actually got to know him and we started just like one of our passions was obviously like Desi films and Bollywood, and we would talk, and I realized like, damn, this guy knows a lot, like, holy crap. And I feel as though in a lot of parties and such, and even like over like our group chats on WhatsApp, like we would just like go on riffs, or it was just him and I talking and just like cackling up a storm. And everybody would just be completely zoned out. And then so some of our friends, you know, Humna, she was just like, she's like, can you guys like just start a podcast already? And finally we were just like, what do we have to lose? Like, let's just try it. And so we also like just have not knowledge, but within like Bollywood, but just like all around, just like South Asian, like, I guess culture. Well, yeah, like South Asian media, if you will. Like, there's a lot of like Pakistani stuff as well. We see some South Indian stuff as well. And so we're just like, yeah, let's try to talk about it. Let's talk about what we find cool and riveting about this, what drew us in. And yeah, we just kind of put it in podcast form, and here we are.
Nice. So do you, yeah. Is it mainly Bollywood? Because I looked at your Instagram for your podcast, and I noticed the Shah Rukh Khan thing. That must have been a hot take, the rise and fall. Like, does he know about this?
Yes. I'm sure he knows about his own life and who he is. He knows this happened. I don't think he cares though, but, and so more power to him. But yeah, so that was a fun episode. That one really, it's funny because we did part one, which is the rise, and the part two, which is the fall. And mm-hmm. we check out the metrics and the analytics, and I think they're like, the second one has way more listens than the first one. It's hilarious.
Oh, I believe it.
I'm like,
everyone like wants to know, like, when did it happen and how did it happen? Because it happened, and I think all of us like were waiting for it to stop. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He just, it was so quality, and then it got real bad. And then, yeah, I think, I know me personally, I was just like, when are we going back?
Yeah, no.
The Shah Rukh wants to play high school students in movies.
Not quite anymore.
But he still is a love interest to like 20-year-old women, which, you know.
I mean, he's Shah Rukh Khan, so, you know.
Yeah, see, so that's the thing. There's definitely a difference of opinion, because people are like, well, it started at this time. I think it started here. And then some people are like, no, it really started here. But he's kind of at the level, and I think I touched upon this in the podcast too, but he's sort of at the level of like, who's a good example? I'm trying to think of like an actual actor or musician. But basically, like, he's reached such a level that it really doesn't matter what he does. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And like, as long mm-hmm. as he's happy doing whatever godforsaken things he's doing, then like, he's only gonna keep going. And
did you
watch the David Letterman interview with him?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
I didn't.
It was actually, I enjoyed it. I don't know, but I'm like a very casual consumer of Bollywood, so I'm not like mm-hmm. nearly as into it as you guys.
I enjoyed it, and it's funny because I think the reason why people didn't like it, and it's part of the reason why I did like it, maybe not why I liked it, but what I found interesting and kind of riveting, was the fact that he knows he's Shah Rukh Khan, and there's like a certain version and depiction right. that the general public sees of him, that like, this is what Shah Rukh Khan is defined as in their eyes, that he like plays up to idea of Shah Rukh Khan a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Which is like,
he's playing a character completely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. And I'm like, wow, like, I feel like at that level, you probably, yeah, have to do like stuff like that, or you know,
it's yeah.
just, yeah.
Yeah.
I think my favorite, I know we've now digressed, and this is not.
I knew this was going to happen as soon as we opened the Bollywood
channel. I would just like to say that I think that my favorite thing about him was when they were like talking to him about his wife one time, and he was like, yeah, she loved me when I was ugly. And I was like, man, isn't that what all of us want at the end of the day? Like, fair enough. I hope they have a long and happy marriage, because she loved him when he was ugly.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love that. That's really, really cool.
Have you ever considered, or would you ever consider like Bollywood roles? Or are you pretty focused on Hollywood?
Ooh, yeah.
I would not mind at all. I think that is something that honestly I don't think I've like pressed too hard, or I haven't like really pushed my foot against the gas pedal when it comes to like pursuing Bollywood. But if there was a way, because I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are in Bombay that just dropped, that even come from the States, right? That
or totally from the UK. Good friends just moved to Mumbai to go pursue, and she was
in
Edmonton, moved to New York, physician, and then she was like, yo, I'm done with this, I'm gonna go to
what
good for her, dude.
That's awesome.
Who is this person? How do we support her?
Her name is Richa, but she's
okay.
I don't think she's been in anything yet, but she just moved there about, I want to say, 6 to 8 months ago. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. So it happens for sure. People do it from Canada and the US too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I think that, man, I can't even imagine the competition in Bombay. Holy cow. Man. Wow. Yeah. Like, at least like, I have the benefit here in the States to be selected for or considered for roles because I'm a brown guy and there's not that many of us, right, in the United States. And so I feel like I have an easier, exactly. So I probably have an easier chance or luck of making it here. And as crazy as that sounds, but I was just always really passionate too about really just trying to do something here as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know?
Yeah. That makes sense. But I mean, it would, you know, if you can put those dance moves to use alongside the acting ability,
that's,
you know,
the thing.
Always the ability.
And if you can lip sync, like, man, you're set.
Oh, dude. I have plenty of experience in that. But to go back to what you were saying, Hamada, like, Sophia, sorry. Listen, I'm on Zencast, and all I see is just reading the names, all right? And I was just like, the first name I saw was Hamada. And thinking about how when I first read the name, I thought Hamada was gonna be a girl, but then it was like this beautiful man's voice, and I was like, so
and that was a first, but thank you very much.
Oh Lord. Back to what I was saying, Sophia, your question was if we at this standard time only touch about Bollywood. For the first season we made it mostly about Bollywood and just kind of focused on themes and stuff that we found in that. But we want to also, in the second season, we're going to be talking about Pakistan, actually, and the industry there and what's really hot as far as like media and entertainment in Pakistan. So we're really excited for that. And we have some other things planned. Season 2 is in production right now.
That's awesome.
So exciting times. Yep.
Fantastic.
That'll be wicked because I think there's not a lot of, like that's so necessary, like to have that to discuss, like what is there, because I think I have no idea. I could not tell you.
I do want to ask you about some of your recent projects that you're working on outside of Daisy Standard Time, but before we do that, tell me more about Circles and how you got to be on that crazy music video. What shooting that was like, tell us all about that experience.
Oh man, that was honestly like nothing else. The way I came across that. So there's a lot of sites. So I have a manager and an agent. But at the time I only had my manager who was submitting me for commercials and random TV gigs and short films. But then I was also submitting on the side on my own and there's a lot of casting websites where you can do that at. So LA Casting had posted a call for this role, and I was like, this sounds super weird and crazy, I'm just gonna submit. And I did, and I got called into audition, and there was two auditions, well, second one being the callback, and both were different. So the first audition that I had, they made me, what did they make me do? They made me do two things. One was to be like sitting like at a table, and then you get up, you go to a buffet line, you get some food, and then you go and sit back down. But the whole time you're gonna be like dancing while you do it. So that was one thing I had to do. The second thing was they're like, choose two completely distinct and different personalities, almost to the point where they're like polar opposites. And you're gonna almost be like sort of like schizo and have like this like dual personality where you're gonna be one alternate personality is trying to cover for a dinner, or one personality is trying to convince the other personality to cover for dinner. And so in my head I was like, what is like a cool like person that I can emulate. So first person that came to mind for whatever reason was Idris Elba. And I was like, suave, nice, cool, British accent, talking man, actually. And so I started talking a little bit more like this, actually, in the audition. And then I thought of, like, what is the polar opposite, like, dude I could do? So I was like, maybe, like, a Desi, like, an Indian accent. Okay, then I had that. So I was like, maybe an Indian accent. And then who is someone? And I thought of my friend Raza, actually. So I did one personality is him, and the other personality is Idris Elba. And I did that, and they called me back for the callback. They liked what they saw. And then the callback, it was more so the same. It was more so like a now this time the personality was like more so like a pimp, like a someone that was like this like alpha male version of myself, and then like this like really beta version of myself. And like I was like choking myself up against the wall, threatening my own life. It was really bizarre. But they saw that I had enough weirdness, I guess, in me. So they were like, okay, cool, like let's cast this guy. So that's how I got cast for it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't know, like Tesla Boy is like a Russian like EDM band, I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
I don't know. How would you call it? Yeah. Right?
Like, I guess so.
Big,
yeah.
They're in Europe, big in Russia, but
yeah.
But like super random that they would have this video. And the video itself is super random, but like incredible at the same time. Like, how was the filming process for it?
Man, it was crazy. It was the same weekend as my roommate at the time, as his wedding. And I remember, so we had two overnight shoots, from like 11 PM until like 9 or 10 AM. And we shot at this place in the Valley in Los Angeles. It was actually the same place where, have you guys seen Drive with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
So that end scene where he's talking to the mafia, or sorry, the crime lord, if you will, in that Chinese restaurant. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's where it was shot. And I think that's where Stir Fry was shot too, the music video.
Right.
But in the same spot, so which was kind of cool.
It's not about Stir Fry.
Yeah.
PSA.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know that until too late.
Oh, yeah. I had the same epiphany with Walking Side to Side with Ariana Grande. It took me like 6 months later. I realized what that song was about. And I was like, wait, time out. Pause. Halt. Stop it.
Like, change in your life.
Yeah, that was a wild funny epiphany. Yeah. But back to the subject. Actually, before that, I want to say, so when I got cast for it, I drove out to Riverside and we went to this like prosthetics place, and they made a prosthetic of my face, because in the music video I play like four or five different characters, and I have a lot of like prosthetics and just like makeup and stuff done on me. So that process, because they dumped like this like really thick clay that like hardens and turns into rubber really, really quick, like on my face. And I had to like, they try to cut holes for my nostrils to breathe, but I couldn't open my mouth. I couldn't open my eyes. And it was like a weight that was on my face. And honestly, I got a little like, had a mild panic attack because I got really claustrophobic. So that itself was a crazy experience. But we also worked with Dina Thompson, who worked on the Sia Chandelier music video. She did the choreography for that.
Oh, that's
right.
Cool.
And she's a crazy talent. She's amazing. So shout out to her. And we spent two straight days, like 8-hour days in a dance studio. We just hashed out the whole fight scene between each character. We decided what each character's like was going to be embodied, like what their essence was, what type of dance style they're going to do. And the whole choreographed middle part of the scene of the music video is when they all just kind of fight each other for this like chicken dinner. So we like really hashed that out. But the shooting itself was fun. It was really intense. It was unlike anything else that I'd ever done. Yeah.
You guys got picked up for South By. Did you go down to Austin for that, or was that more like remote? Or
no, I did. So we submitted. Awesome. I think we shot in August 2016, and then Ryan Patrick was the director freaking beast, crazy talented dude. It was honestly his vision, so he made me look like incredible. So you know, big ups to him. But he shopped that around. He submitted to many festivals, and in December he texted me, and I was the first person he texted. He was like, "Dude, guess what?" I'm like, "What?" He's like, "We're going to South By." I'm like, "What the hell do you mean?" And then, you know, he said that it got picked up and we're nominated for best music video. And so that March I went, and yeah, that was just a super, super cool experience. We were there for the first half of South By, which was all tag and film and all that good stuff. And yeah, man, that was also like a really, really unreal experience. And just to kind of see yourself as playing on a big screen is always like, wow, like that was really, really cool. Yeah. So super happy about that, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's pivot into some of the things that you're working on right now. So I heard, you had mentioned that you are now working on a new Amazon Prime show. Is there anything that you can tell us about that? That sounds incredibly exciting.
Yeah, so the show is called Hereith, and basically it's a story about this Pakistani woman and Pakistani man, and they both share a commonality of a green card, and they are both, they both have it, and they both have their own struggles, and the way they went about getting the green card is, you know, they have it in their own way. So basically my character, Adnan, right? Like he is married to this Caucasian lady, and he has a kid with her, and he got, you know, that's how he had his green card, and he's just living his life and doing what he has to do. And you know, on the other hand, we have Zoya, who is unfortunately like part of like sex trafficking, and just has to kind of go through like a much different route of how to be able to, you know, stay within the country and do her thing. So it's and they both meet over like online, you know, through Facebook, and they become like almost like virtual pen pals, and they start to really, you know, care for one another, and they really look out for each other, and he's always trying to help out, and she finds solace in him because he's someone that is from Pakistan, you know, same background as her, and they have a comfort with one another, and you know, we see where the rest you know, where the rest of the story goes without giving away too much. So cool. So it's been fun to shoot so far. You know, obviously everything with COVID-19 and whatnot, it's kind of on a halt, and hoping to pick that back up sometime soon. But yeah, it's really, really exciting. It's really really, really fun.
Oh, that sounds really it sounds like, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, it sounds about the complexity of, you know, not just Muslims in the situation, just the immigrant story from a different perspective. So that's really cool. Really, really cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Amir Jaffer is a super talented, you know, director. He's the guy that's like, you know, really spearheading it, obviously. And yeah, just it's really cool working with him. Just knows what he wants. And yeah, just he just made my life a lot easier as like a performer. So so
do you know roughly when it'll be like out, or like I know obviously everything's on hold, so it's probably delayed quite a bit, but is it like any idea?
Yeah, I mean there's definitely episodes already like airing and taking place. So honestly what I described was more so my own storyline. So there's other like storylines that are taking place in the show.
We're
actually producing it just kind of as we go. So there are definitely some episodes up on Amazon Prime right now. So you can check out, you know, for your viewing pleasure. But yeah, so there's more to come.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So it's more like an anthology series where it's like every episode is its own thing, or is it like a series and you've got kind of a story within the series, the greater framework of the series?
Yeah, I mean it's a little bit of both, but there's you know, definitely a couple of like multiple storylines that I guess you all have to tune in, watch and find out more about.
Okay, all right. Okay. I like it. No, that's good. Yeah, hey, I'm good with that. Awesome. Right on.
Yeah, yeah.
Sophia, anything else on your end that you wanted to cover while we have Maja?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about like, what was it like working with Lady Gaga mainly was my question.
Oh, snap. Yeah. I was, it's funny, it was for, which music video was it for? Guy, G-U-Y, the girl mm-hmm. under you, I believe. Shot in 2014. That was a doozy because, I mean, you can't even see me in the music video. You just see my name in the credits, and it was... So definitely, if you're going to look back and try to find that video and be like, oh, where's Maz? You'll not find me at all. So I'm saying that right now. But the set and just like to be on set and to kind of like talk to her a little bit and just meet all these like random people like was like really just a cool experience. Cool. Basically, we shot it in San Simeon at Hearst Castle, which is like nearby Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, around like that part of California, like the Central Coast. And we were shooting out there, and this was around the time where California was experiencing like that heavy drought. So I remember Lady Gaga had agreed that she would donate a lot of like money and proceeds to Hearst Castle and make sure like, you know, whatever that to help out with the drought. And I know for a fact that there's a lot of companies and stuff that were trying, or production companies that were trying to shoot there for a long time. So it's cool that she got, you know, the green light from them. But there's just a lot of, we're supposed to finish in one day and we didn't. But Lady Gaga decides that she's like, you know what? Like everybody, all this talent came out all this way. Like we're going to have everybody, we're going to cover everybody's like hotel and everyone spend the night there and then come back, to shoot the following day, which is really nice for her. And it was cool. But there were so many people, man. There was like, just like really interesting looking people, like a bunch of supermodels, like bunch of male models, bunch of like women, like female models. And it was just like, I was like, why am I here? Like, I do not like, there's so many epic looking people. There was like one girl I remember that was like, seriously, like 6'7", 6'8", like model. And I was just like, what the heck? Like, I'm 6'4". And I was like, what is happening right now? Like, how did you find these people? But Lady Gaga, she's super, super friendly.
That's cool.
She was just kind of going around. She's really like, I guess like free spirited, if you will. And just like kind of like casually just walks around, just chops it up with people. But it was definitely a cool experience. It was unlike anything else.
So I'm gonna wrap this up. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us, Maz. We look forward to seeing you on Amazon Prime on the DC Standard Time. Is there anywhere else where we should be looking out for you, or what are your social media handles that we can have people follow along your journey on?
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter. I am Mazi Ali. So it's MAZYALI. Mazi was my nickname that a lot of people call me, dubbed by my father first. So there you go.
Nice.
Fun fact. But yeah. Check it out. Follow. Appreciate all the love. Definitely. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Very therapeutic and cathartic as well. So thank you.
Right on, man. Thank you.
Glad to bring some joy to your quarantine.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, I love you guys. Love what you guys are doing as well. It's really, really important that obviously more of this like comes out and, you know, just more support to you guys and more, you know, more love from afar in the States. So
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Well, hopefully we see you down for the event this year if we're not all still quarantined.
Definitely. Definitely. I hope so.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed that episode. You can find us online by searching for Moskers Film Festival on all social media.
We hope you join us next time.